Right, just wait a minute. Molly went through the Blitz before that.
Right? Yes,
the
Blitz. That's right. Molly had lots of adventures in the Blitz.
Oh, Molly went through a marriage before that.
Oh, yeah, that was an adventure too, wasn't it?
That was an adventure. Well, the marriage came very quickly because, of course, when Pat said come back, resign your job and come back, he said, we'll get married.
So that was your proposal by phone?
Yes. So, well, we had sort of got secretly. No, we were engaged. Yes, no, officially. No. We had been secretly engaged and then unofficially engaged. And, but it was just hastening things through that, I came back on the 3rd of September, we put up the banns immediately and married on the 30th of September.
Hmm.
But just after I got back, Nev and I offered our services to go and fill sandbags. Everybody, all the civilians were running around doing everything they could, you know, for the effort. And so we joined this bunch of workmen filling sandbags, and I learned something about filling sandbags. It was one person was holding the bag open while the other person was doing the shoveling the sand in. And I found it much harder to be the person holding the bag open and than being the one doing the shoveling, because the bag got heavier and heavier, and holding it open was a terrible strain on your back. And so I said, Nev, let me do the shoveling. And so Nev would hold the sandbag, and then these workmen who were officially filling sandbags, we were helping the workmen, he was basically fed up letting your girlfriend do all the work, and Nev would say, come on, you hold it, you know. I'd have to hold the sandbag because of Nev's ego, you know. And so I got quite a backache, but this is being young, though, because we filled sandbags all day long, which was hard work. And then we got home and Nev said, well, let's go and play and have a game of tennis. And so we were walking up the road with our tennis rackets under our arm, and some man on a bicycle saw us. He yelled out, tennis! They want to play tennis! Don't you know there's a war on? I mean, we looked like these sort of
completely
unconcerned, effete Britishers who were sort of ignoring the whole war effort, so we felt a bit hard done by because we had filled sandbags all day, yes. But, oh yes, well, there were various bombing experiences of, Pat and I were living up Richmond Hill, but whenever he was in the Air Force, so he was often on fireworks duty, and then I'd go back to 8 Grenner to spend the night. And at 8 Grenner, my father wouldn't build an air raid shelter because he didn't want to. There were two kinds of air raid shelters, a Morrison shelter and an Anderson shelter. I forget which, but one was in the garden and you had to dig up your lawn and make a shelter. And the other one was a sort of a thing, you constructed up in one of the rooms in your house. And you could crawl under, and people with children especially had the one in the house, and they sort of put the children into bed in this whatever structure. So that given that you haven't got a shelter and you weren't going to go off and use the public shelters, which a lot of people did, the safest place was alleged to be the cupboard under the stairs. And you went to bed you spent the night in the cupboard under the stairs. Well, there were my father and Nev and me and Vi and the dog and my grandma and aunt, who were Moy, you know, they were bombed. They had an unexploded bomb in their garden and they had to leave their house. So they were with us. It was a hell of a lot of people all crammed into the shelter. And Vi, who was always so impatient, she would sit in the far corner. I thought she'd end the war shaped like a triangle. You know, she was always at the worst place in the cupboard under the stairs, reading Gone with the Wind. She was lost in this other world. But my father, was much more nervous than she was. I mean, you'd hear these planes droning overhead and the AFAC couldn't do right if they were firing on it. They were firing. He was, oh, they shouldn't be firing the light over here. But then if you'd hear the planes and the AFAC weren't firing, again, it was, you know, what the hell is the matter with the RAF?
Well, the AFAC.
Oh, the AFAC, yes, the AFAC, sorry. And you'd hear the bombs go, ooh, whistling down, and they always sounded as if they would come right overhead. And then the dog was such a damn nuisance because he got all upset, and so we got something from the vet to quiet him down, and it made him worse than ever. I mean, you would have thought you had to drag the spaniel into the shelter with us. And then you'd want to get ready. You'd hope that the air raid would end and you could go to bed at some point, and you'd sort of take advantage of a lull where you couldn't hear any planes and rush and try and get partially undressed. And I remember one time when I was getting undressed, we were all keeping out of the cupboard under the stairs so that I could get undressed in there. And we heard the plane, and then we heard a bomb whistling down, and my father and Nev and I were bolting for the cupboard under the stairs, and I held the door down and said, don't come in, I'm not decent. The bomb exploded and the back door would rattle if it was close enough. So
they waited outside.
You were gone. Yes, you wouldn't go and see Vi taking her corset off. So that was the, but then as the war went on and you got more and more blasé about the bombing, and you got so miserable, you couldn't work consistently the next day if you were sat in the cupboard under the stairs listening to the planes. So then gradually we got the arrangement of having mattresses under the table, you see, this big mattress under each table, and what we've been through all that about the landmines coming down. It was a protection.
But did you ever go to the public place?
I never went into the public.
And did you see them in the underground in the morning?
Oh, well, if you travelled on the train, which I did a lot of at night, you know, I was trotting around with Pat and all these RAF officers and going to nightclubs and things. Nightclubs were great because they were usually way down in basements, and went into one of those and there was music and it was way down far. You sort of weren't aware of the bombing nearly so much in a nightclub. But then, coming home on the tube trains late at night, you see all the East End people, and all the people who did go down into the shelters were having a whale of a time. You know, they'd take babies and thermoses and... I mean, no, Ruth Northcroft remarked about all the pictures by Henry Moore of the people in the tube trains in the underground. How miserable. They weren't miserable. They were having a party every night. They'd have music and sing songs and making cups of tea. Well, it seemed to be communal living, and they were having a great time.
When we had power cuts in England, the effect was to bring people together, and we did have quite a social time. We had quite good party atmosphere, with candles, and making do with candles in one place, and you'd all cram into one room, and it was really quite festive.
There was a sort of funny thing too, where we were right on the edge of two regions, and they would have 3 hours on, 3 hours off, 3 hours on, 3 hours off, for electricity for months during the strikes when we were dealing with the babies. And we would only have to move to Leckhampton, which was just at the end of our garden, and they would have the 3 hours on when we had the 3 hours off. So there was a stage where we all were enjoying having the time off and being in the dark and playing games and not having television and so on. But we moved all the time into the dark area. Do you remember that? Where we'd avoid the part and have the electricity, and we'd go and have another party in the dark, blacked out area.
Well, that's that's right. It does sort of, I mean, that's the one thing about the war. You did find that it broke down, especially the British reserves, the sort of inhibitions. That was very noticeable. I mean, if you were standing at a bus stop and you'd be with a whole lot of people and nobody would be speaking, and suddenly the air raid warning would go, and, oh, Joe's early tonight, and you're all sort of talking. It sort of broke down the barriers, and everybody, you all united in a common cause.
There's a lot lower rates of mental illness
today. Yes, a lot less depression, funnily enough.
And a lot better diet, that's
true. Well, it was certainly, and also the health of babies improved because they had free cod liver oil and free rose syrup and I think it was orange juice, because you never saw oranges at all during the war, but there was orange juice for babies. But these things were free, and therefore the people who lived in, the lower income people who never bought those things, had never given them to their kids, gave them cod liver oil and vitamin C, so that the health of babies improved.
What babies are born.